Thank you. Welcome back to our study of Leviticus. We are in chapter 21, and this chapter documents laws regarding the priest of Israel. So let's look at this first verse here. And the Lord said unto Moses, speak unto the priests, the sons of Aaron, and say unto them, there shall none be defiled for the dead among his people.
Now notice that it's Moses that's instructing them in these laws, because Moses is the one to whom God gave the laws. And they have the obligation to do things God's way. And so the leadership, Moses, oversight, is conveying to the ones who are to be representatives of God. This is something that's extremely important to realize as you're looking at the Old Testament. Is not just the high priest, but the priest also were the representatives of God. The people are bringing the sacrifices to the priest, and the priests are presenting them to the Lord, okay? And so there has to be proper protocol. And you'll find that there was violations, and there was a price to pay for the violations. For instance, Eli's sons, Hophni and Phinehas, because they were reckless about the things of God. And here they are to represent God to the people to God, and they're committing all kinds of sinful things, taking advantage of the people, and cost them their lives. Mm-hmm. I said all that to say the priests have a tremendous responsibility. And so anyone that you place in a responsible position, then they need to be taught what their obligations are and what their accountability is, okay? And so that's Moses' position as the overseer of the nation. Then he's to tell Aaron, as well as Aaron's sons, God's laws. This is the way God wants it done, and there's not another way.
That's good. So they were not to defile themselves with the dead. In verse 2, but for his kin that is near unto him, that is for his mother and for his father and for his son and for his daughter and for his brother and for his sister, a virgin that is nigh unto him, which hath had no husband, for her he may be defiled. But he shall not defile himself, being a chief man among his people, to profane himself.
Now, if you look at this, a lot of people would not appreciate
right.
what God's saying.
Right.
That is not to defile himself. In other words, if you look at the law, you couldn't go around the dead, handle the dead, and this type of thing. Because it would make you unclean. But if people died, that they were willing to do that to be unclean, if you will. God said not so with the priest. The only ones that you could make yourself unclean for would be your father, your mother, your brother, your sister, and I think you'll find that that's a virgin sister.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, friends and acquaintances, it didn't matter how much they cared for them, they couldn't defile themselves by being around the dead. They had to keep themselves separate. And so what you see in this is there's a higher standard for those who are representing the Lord. Is a higher standard. And when you look at it in the, you carry it over into the New Testament, you carry it over into the church, then there's a higher standard for those who are representing God to the people. You follow me? And so anybody in the oversight position is living by a higher standard according to God, because there's greater accountability. Okay, things that other people do, you may not be able to participate in. The Lord may have convictions on you that the others don't have convictions. I know I have. God has specifically spoken to me, not just a whelm or a desire, but I'm telling you the awesome presence of God, and the Lord has spoken to me that concerning a standard that I have to live by, and not to do what he says to do, there would be sin. Okay? And so you'll see this with the leadership, and you have to appreciate that God's right. God knows what he's doing. And so it's not something that you approach haphazardly, but it's something you take very seriously. And as I said earlier, Hophni and Phinehas, who were priests, just they didn't take it serious. They used their position to their advantage. And this is what's going on so often today with ministry. People are using their position for their advantage. It's not that they care for the people. It's not what can we do to help you, but it's what you can do to help me. And it's amazing to me how many demands ministry puts on people. I've seen things that I've cringed at. I was in one particular country, and one of the associate ministers went to the bishop in my presence to ask for something, and got down on his knees and pleading, and I lost all respect for that bishop. I can tell you this. Never in a million years should you allow that. You get that person up on their feet. They're not to bow to you. They're to bow to Jesus. And there's a proper protocol. There's a respect. There's an honor. I understand that. But don't take advantage of your position and lord it over people.
I would have had, prior to being born again and receiving the Holy Spirit, I would have had a hard time with this. I would have been one of those people that didn't understand. Do you remember what Jesus, he even told the religious leaders of the day, you know, God's not a God of the dead. He's a God of the living. And I have a whole different perspective on death now of this mortal body than I used to. And I understand now that it's not permanent. It's just a temporary, see you later, and we'll see you soon kind of thing.
But see, this system, if we want to call it that, was ordained by God. And as long as everyone is doing what God says,
yeah,
then God's ruling, and God's not taking advantage of the people.
Right.
But God is expecting his representatives to do things his way. The problem is, it became a system of men. Men started tampering with what God ordained, and so they would add to God's laws, and they developed a complex religious system that controlled the people, and if you didn't do like the system said to do, then you're excommunicated or whatever. Well, it's the same way today. You look at the religious system today, it's a controlling system. Rather than telling people and really promoting the fact that people should be serving the Lord and listening to the Spirit of God and, you know, being a disciple of Jesus, the system says, we'll tell you what you should do.
Yeah.
We'll give you the rules. We'll give you the regulation. You do what we tell you. You know, you don't have to concern yourself with what God is saying. You listen to us. Now, they're not bold enough to say it that way. But in their actions, that is the exact message that is being conveyed. And if you don't do it their way, see how long you stay in the system.
Yeah.
They'll excommunicate you or blackmail you, whatever.
Verse 5.
So I said that to say, don't just take the law of Moses as a religious system. Although it can be viewed that way, but it's not religious, it's a God system. There's a difference.
That's good. Verse 5, they shall not make baldness upon their head, neither shall they shave off the corner of their beard, nor make any cuttings in their flesh. They shall be holy unto their God, and not profane the name of their God. For the offerings of the Lord made by fire, and the bread of their God, they do offer. Therefore, they shall be holy.
Now, this still is in regard to the dead and procedures that people went through. So the priest was not to make bald places on the heads or trim the edges of the beards, make any kind of cuttings in their bodies. They were to remain sacred to the Lord so that they didn't bring a reproach against the name of their God. If you're just doing the same thing that those around you are doing, then you're not representing God. And I don't understand all the culture of this, but there was obviously various practices that they did that God did not want his people to do, because they're demonic. And God doesn't want us following the practices of the devil. We're to keep ourselves separated. There's no fellowship with light and darkness. And so don't try to fellowship with darkness. But the modern day church wants to hold hands with the world and with God, and that just doesn't happen. You can choose one or the other. If you choose the world, Paul says in writing, Romans also in other places, he says that if you're a friend of God, if you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. And you can use enmity or you can say hostile.
Mm-hmm.
That's the definition. And so it's a rebellion. God wants his people submitted to him, to his ways, to be separate from the world. Don't follow the practices of the world. So they don't understand it. That's irrelevant. You just be obedient.
Verse 7, they shall not take a wife that is a whore or profane, neither shall they take a woman put away from her husband, for he is holy unto God.
And so here again, as a representative of God, the priests were not allowed to marry a woman who was a prostitute or ceremonially unclean or divorced. They were to be sacred to the Lord. Now, I believe that this is at least directly or indirectly pointing to Jesus and the church. How that he has one bride, and this bride's to be pure, this bride's to be clean. Jesus is not looking to the world for the bride. You understand? They're called out of the world, but they can't participate in it. Okay? And so there was a higher standard for the priest. Now, I think about Hosea, how God spoke to him to marry a prostitute.
Mm-hmm.
But the priest couldn't. You with me? But God was using his life as an illustration of what Israel was doing to God, how they were being unfaithful to God. So the priest had a higher standard.
You shall sanctify him, therefore, for he offers the bread of the God. He shall be holy unto you, for I am the Lord, which sanctifies you, am holy.
You see, this repeatedly says, you know, they're offering the grain offerings to the Lord. They remain ceremonially clean. And the Lord who set them apart, he says he's holy. And so he wants the priest to be holy as well, distinctly different.
Mm-hmm.
And that working definition will always be with me when I hear the word holy. It's distinctly different. It's sacred to the Lord. It's different. It's not like the world.
And the daughter of any priest, if she profane herself by playing the whore, she profaneth her father. She shall be burnt with fire.
That's pretty strict judgment there, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
What is it? She's desecrating her father's house. So he says if the priest's daughter's a prostitute, then she's to be burned with fire because she's disgraced her father. I think that's self-explanatory.
Mm-hmm.
That God's not condoning all this stuff. In a world today where people are using the phrase "God is love" to cover perversity, that's mishandling the Word of God. God is a consuming fire.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we hear that one? What does fire do? It will consume the things that won't stand the test.
And he that is the high priest among his brethren, upon whose head the anointing oil was poured, and that is consecrated to put on the garments, shall not uncover his head, nor rend his clothes, neither shall he go in or near to any dead body, nor defile himself for his father or for his mother. Neither shall he go out of the sanctuary, nor profane the sanctuary of his God. For the crown of the anointing oil of his God is upon him. I am the Lord.
Now, if you recall, when the high priest is set apart, like Aaron started out. Do you remember how you had the 7 days of consecration?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is what this was referring to. So when, like Aaron died and his son, Eleazar, becomes the high priest, then the anointing oil is poured on him, and he also has to go through this consecration period as well. Well, during that time of consecration, the anointing oil has been poured on him, okay? And so he is not allowed to rend his garments in any kind of grief or sorrow. He's in a sacred time, and he's not to defile himself by going near the dead. He's not even allowed to leave that tabernacle complex. He has to stay there during that time of consecration. That's what this particular verse is referring to. He can't even go near a dead body. That would include his father or his mother during that period of time when he's being consecrated, because it says it would profane the sanctuary of God. The anointing oils on him, that's what he's referring to. So during this time of consecration, it is an extremely sacred time. And so you can't be caught up with the things of the natural, the flesh, the things that would normally attract you. No, you can't go near them. Now, after the fight, we learned that a priest could defile himself for his father and mother. But that high priest could not do that while the anointing oil was on him. Nor could he rend his garment.
Well, we remember reading about Nadab and Abihu, where Aaron... We remember reading about Nadab and Abihu, where Aaron couldn't rend his... He was specifically told, don't you do that. You
well, they defiled themselves by initiating their own way.
Mm-hmm.
And it cost them their lives. Well, that should be an example to us that God expects us to do things His way. And it's not a fact of whether you understand it. I promise you, over the years, there's been many things that God has dealt with me about that I have not understood. What I did understand was God said it, do it. And the repercussion is just the repercussion. People don't understand it. People didn't hear God speak to you. You understand? And so they judge you when they don't even know what they're doing. What they're actually doing when they judge you for obeying God, they're judging God and saying God did something wrong. And it's a dangerous place to be.
Verse 13, and he shall take a wife in her virginity, a widow or a divorced woman or profane or a harlot, these shall he not take, but he shall take a virgin of his own people to wife. Neither shall he profane his seed among his people, for I, the Lord, do sanctify him.
There again is really a reiteration. He has to be separate. He's living by a higher standard. He's to set the example before the nation.
Verse 16. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron, saying, whosoever he be of thy seed in their generations that hath any blemish, let him not approach to offer the bread of his God.
Now, this is interesting because a person that had a physical defect was not allowed to minister before the Lord. A priest with a physical defect could not minister before the Lord. God is looking for completeness, you understand. God is looking for a clean person, not an unclean. So anything that would cause a person to be unclean or unacceptable, God says, I don't want that person ministering to me.
Verse 17. Is that right? Thank you. For whatsoever man he be that hath a blemish, he shall not approach a blind man or a lame, or he that hath a flat nose, or anything superfluous, or a man that is broken footed, or broken handed, or crook backed, or a dwarf, or that hath a blemish in his eye, or be scurvy or scab, he that hath his stones broken.
And so here is specific. If a priest was blind, if he was crippled, they had a flat nose, they had excessive body members like six fingers or whatever, had broken foot or hand, hunchback, a dwarf, a defective eye, skin disease, a eunuch, then he could not minister before the Lord. That's God's standard. You want to say anything to that?
Well, I just think there's some things I don't understand. And I'll just leave it at that, because I believe God created us as we are. So there's things that, and I'm just asking, Lord, I don't quite understand all this, but I do understand that He gave very specific instructions as far as choosing an animal to sacrifice. It had to be an animal without blemish. You remember reading about that? We've read that many times before. So I'll just say, I don't quite understand it all.
I believe that one of the things that is being conveyed is God is wanting people to know that He's perfect. And He does not want imperfection representing Him through these physical defects. You understand? God's whole. He's complete. So don't present me as incomplete or not whole. Okay?
And I think about how we stand before the Lord today. You know, when we're united with Jesus Christ, we take on His perfectness. His perfection becomes ours. And so all the defects that we have are totally wiped clean in Jesus Christ. You know, the Lord looks on our heart. He looks on the heart of man. And so and I talk to people every now and again, and oftentimes they're quick to point out their defects, so to speak. Well, I'm not this, and I'm not that, and I'm not this. And I had a really precious person the other day saying some things like that to me. And it really hurt my heart, and I talked to the Lord about it, and I was recounting about this person. I said, Lord, You made this person do this, and this person does this for You, and You speak through this person, and may this person just come to realize who they are in You. And so I don't think about defects anymore, so to speak. I know somebody could make a huge laundry list if they were just looking at me on the outside. But you got to look at the heart. We've got to look at the heart of people. And may people, when they look at my heart, may they see Jesus. May they find Him. He's my identity now. May He be yours. And so I thank the Lord that He took care of this. He fulfilled this law for us. He's identified very clearly the difference between clean and unclean. And you know, we can make it that simple. Jesus is clean. He is the way, the truth, the life. There's no other way. Any other way, it's unclean, it's unacceptable. Period. So
you have to realize that the law is external, it's natural, and when you get into the new covenant, now we're talking spiritual. So everything by law was type. So he's using natural type, the imperfections. Well, God doesn't want you to have an imperfect heart. And how do you get a perfect heart? You're complete in Jesus, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're in Him, you're covered. Because if you look at it, you say, well, God's not fair. That person couldn't help being born blind, or that person couldn't help being a dwarf, or that person couldn't help this or couldn't help that. It's not that God rejected the person. He said that person cannot be in a position of representation for me. And so in the new covenant that you and I are in, it's an internal thing. As Heather was saying, we're new creation in Christ Jesus. This is inside. And so if we're going to represent the Lord, then we have to be perfect and whole on the inside. You follow me? You can't be dwarfed inside. And there's too many people trying to represent the Lord, and they don't know the Lord. You understand what I mean by that? Okay,
yeah.
We can say immature, whatever. We can say they have some defect spiritually. They haven't got everything right with the Lord. God says, don't put that person in a position to represent me. never put a novice
in
the position of oversight. You follow me?
Yeah.
And so God is not condemning a person and saying, I can't use a person if they have a physical problem. That was old covenant. But new covenant is in the heart. It's in the heart. Is the heart complete before God? You with me?
That's good. Thank you. Verse 21. No man that hath a blemish of the seed of Aaron the priest shall come nigh to offer the offerings of the Lord made by fire. He hath a blemish, he shall not come nigh to offer the bread of his God. He shall eat the bread of his God, both of the most holy and of the holy. Only he shall not go in unto the veil, nor come nigh unto the altar, because he hath a blemish, that he profane not my sanctuaries, for I the Lord do sanctify them.
So although a descendant of Aaron, who was a priestly lineage, although they were not allowed to minister before the Lord if they had a physical defect, they could eat of the sacrifices that were for the priest. You follow me? They could eat the sacrifices that had been offered to God, but even the sacred sacrifices, or the most sacred sacrifices, however, they're not allowed to go into the veil, or they're not allowed to approach the brazen altar to offer the sacrifice, because then it would defile these sacred places that the Lord had made ceremonially clean. So it all has to do with a representation.
Mm-hmm.
You follow me? And so don't second guess God, and don't criticize God. Don't think you have a better idea than God, because then you just revealed your ignorance. God knew what he was doing, and what God's saying is, I want proper representation. You understand? Not everybody is in the ministry as far as a full-time ministry, as people call it. But that doesn't mean God won't feed you. That doesn't mean God won't speak to you. That doesn't mean God won't use you in whatever capacity. You follow me? But for us to represent him in position, we need to be spiritually mature. Otherwise, it's a misrepresentation.
I have a little note here in my Bible that says, I just wrote it in red, Jesus is our high priest. There is no defect in him. Amen. You know, when we keep our eyes on him, we're in a safe place. But if we turn that around and start focusing on who we are and what we're doing, we can fall into error, we can fall into condemnation, we can fall into all kinds of pitfalls. But let's just keep our eyes on our perfect high priest. Amen?
Well, let's say this. Whatever you do, do not get into condemnation or allow anyone to get into condemnation if they're having a physical problem. Okay? Because we're in a new covenant, and Jesus makes us complete. Our completion is in Jesus.
Yeah.
And when you're complete in Jesus, when you're clothed with Jesus, then you can represent Jesus. But to bring people in, which churches do, that aren't even born again, and have them in leadership positions, that's a violation of God, because they're not complete. They're not complete in him. You follow me?
Right.
Okay. Thank God he's made provision for all of us to be complete in Jesus, to where we can be able ministers for the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay. take our break now. Is that right? Okay, very good. We'll stop right here.
Time's up.
Do you want me to? Okay.
We cut the camera off, right?
You want to read 24?
Excuse me?
I'm so confused.
Is the camera on or off?
It's off.
Lynn said read 24.
What we have here is a failure to communicate.
And Moses told it unto Aaron and to his sons and unto all the children of Israel. So Moses gave these laws to Aaron, his sons, and all the descendants. Everybody heard it. Amen. Time for break.